I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, if you got your Bibles, turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Everybody should have your Bibles. Today's chapel, you need to have your Bibles. Who doesn't have your Bibles? One, two, three. Got your Bibles? Got to have your Bibles. 2 Kings chapter 5. You know, there are times in life when we feel that those who are in power will never have God do anything for them. You know, I look at politicians today and I think, you know, a lot of them don't know God. They don't want God in their life and they don't want God to understand what they're doing. And today we're going to take a look at a Syrian officer with a lot of power who was going to have to humble himself to find a miracle which God was going to have. Are we on? You got my phone. Huh? Michael and Braden. Oh, Michael's got his. Yep. Yep. Here we see a very powerful man who was going to have to do something that he didn't want to do in order for God to show him a miracle. The first thing is this, is if you look at 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was also a mighty man in valor that he was, but..." Now listen to this. You need to listen very carefully. "But he was a leper." He was a leper. Now here we see that Naaman was the captain of the host. This was no ordinary man. He was the head of the great army of Syria. This man was the commander who would tell the armies where they needed to go and what they needed to do. And they had to do exactly what he said. All of the army was under his command, and he was no little man. He was a great man in the army. He would be like a five-star general in today's army. He was the commander-in-chief, so to speak. He told everybody what to do, where to go, and why to do it. He was a great and honorable man. And this man was not only the head of the army, but he was also a great man in the eyes of the king. You know, whatever Naaman said, the king would take it for the truth, and it was done. He was also an honorable man, and because he was so honorable, an honorable man means a man of possessing a high mind by principle and honor, or it's in regard of publicity, and he had a real good reputation. When I think of a person who's an honorable man, I feel there are people people of high character, people who go on and above what they need to do. But he was also a mighty man of valor. He was the word valor here means strength of mind in regard to danger, their quality which enables a man to encounter danger with firmness, personal bravery, courage. And here we see a man who was not afraid to get into the battle and the fight, And he was a leader. He wasn't a follower. He was a man that would go first, and everyone would follow him. What are you doing? Naaman had been given a keen sense for fighting and warfare. We need to realize that Naaman was a good soldier. He knew exactly what he needed to do and how to do it, and the men followed him and did exactly what he said. You know, notice the Lord had given deliverance. It was by the hand of God through this mighty man of valor that all the armies of Syria were delivered or defeated. But there was one thing that was wrong. He had a problem. He had a problem, and that was that he was a leper. A leper was not allowed to live where everybody else lived. You know, a leper is a disease that can spread from person to person very easily. Under the Mosaic law, a leper had to keep their face covered, kind of like having a mask on all the time. They had to keep their face covered all the time, and they had to cry, unclean, unclean, and they could not come around anyone else. They had to stay completely away from everybody. They had to live outside of the city. They couldn't live in the city with their families. They had to be totally isolated. They had to continually call and yell unclean so that everybody knew that they were a leper. A leper was not well looked upon by anyone because of their disease. Now, Naaman was an exception. Naaman was an exception because he was a honorable and a man of valor, and he was the head of the army. And Naaman, I'm sure that he had some things that he could do that other lepers couldn't do. But Naaman was told by the king of Syria to go to the king of Israel. Look at verse 5. It says, and the king of Syria said, go to, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and he took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Now here we see that the king of Syria told Naaman to go to the king of Israel. Now, why was it, I want to see if any of you know this story at all. Why was it the king of Syria told Naaman to go to Israel? Who can tell me? Because what? No, I'm going to show you why. Go back to verse number 2. It says, and the Syrians had gone out by company and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now think about this. Here is a little maid. Here's a little maid that gave good instruction. She gave Naaman's wife the instruction that if he could only go to this prophet in Israel, he could make him whole again. That's why the king was going to send Naaman to the king of Israel. Notice what the king said. He said to go. It reminds me of where the kings say to go and do something, and they need to do it. Naaman could have said, what is the use of me going all the way to Israel and see if there's a cure for leprosy? The king gave him gifts for Naaman to take along with him and in hopes that he'd be able to take and be made clean and whole. Naaman was told what to do and to be made clean. Look at verse 10 of the same chapter. It says, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now, that sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? Here we see that that Naaman was told exactly what to do. He was told that all he had to do was just go and wash seven times in the Jordan River, and he'll be clean. That sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? It sounds easy to do. Just go and dip seven times in the water, and you're going to be clean. This was a very simple command for him to do, just one thing, and he could have been healed. This reminds me of salvation. You know, salvation is very easy, and all we have to do is we have to realize we're a sinner, realize there's a penalty for our sin, and understand Jesus died for us, and then ask for forgiveness. All we have to do is to pray and ask to be saved. Now, Naaman became very angry. Look at verses 11 and 12. It says, "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper.' And are not Abna and Phira rivers in Damascus better than the waters in Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and he went away in a rage. He was very angry because of what Elisha had told him to do. After all, he said, "Why did I come all the way over here to Israel? Why did I make this big journey just to take and dip seven times in the muddy water of the Jordan?" The Jordan was very muddy, muddy, muddy river. And he says, "Why would I have to do that? I could have went to Damascus and I could have went to the rivers there and done it, and I wouldn't have had to get all full of mud like I will here." But he became very wroth. The word wroth means very angry. Naaman became so angry at Elisha because Elisha didn't even come out. Elisha sent one of his messengers. Elisha didn't come himself. And he really, really was upset because this was going on that way. He felt that he had come all that way for absolutely nothing. You know, he felt that he could have just stayed home and dipped in the rivers there, and he could have been healed there. You know, people feel there has to be more to receiving eternal life than what it is. It's just like Naaman. It is easy, and there has to be more to accepting the Lord Jesus Christ than just asking. But here we see that Naaman, all he had to do was just go and dip seven times in the river, and he was going to be made clean. You know, many times people become angry because they think that they need to take and work for their salvation. Many times they feel they need to take and try to buy their salvation, but that doesn't work. All you need to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. But then later on, in verse 13, we see what he does. In verse 13 it says, "And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?'" You know, here's a very wise man that's talking to Naaman. You got to realize this is just a servant of his. And yet he asked him, a very important question. You know, if you were told to do something great, if you were told to climb a big mountain, would you have done it to get clean? And Naaman thought about that for a long time. And he got to thinking, you know, why? Because ye must be born again, will we not take the opportunity to get saved? It's the same thing as what Naaman says, well, you know what, I need to do something great to have this. That's not the way it is. All we need to do is just ask. You know, many times God will lay on the hearts of others what we need to do, what way we should go, who we should allow in church, how we should run our lives and treat other people and make them part of the family of God. You know, the Bible says where there's a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. And pastors and need to have counsel ourselves, and we had to have people direct us in the way that we should go too. But here we see that Naaman, was he? He was a leper, wasn't he? He was a leper. There was no way he could be healed at all. There was no cure for leprosy, none, zero. And all Elisha said is go dip 7 times in the Jordan. But you know, Naaman was a very obedient man. Look at verse 14. It says, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now, let me ask you something. The first time he dipped in the water and he came out, did he still have leprosy? Yep, he did. How about the second time he dipped, he came out, did he still have leprosy? What about the third time? He dipped, came out, he still had leprosy. What about the fourth time? He dipped, he came out, how many, was he still a leper? How about the fifth time he dipped and he came out, was he still a leper? How about the sixth time he dipped and he came out, was he still a leper? What about the seventh time when he dipped and he came out? He was no longer a leper. Now listen to me very carefully. When God tells us to do something, we need to do it all the way. I think along the lines of the city of Jericho. Remember when the Israelites went to conquer Jericho? God told them to do what? On 6 days, I want you to walk around the city 1 time. And on the 7th day, I want you to walk around 7 times, blow your trumpets, and the walls will fall down flat. You know, if they would have only walked around on the 7th day 4 times, the walls wouldn't have fell flat. We need to take and realize that when God tells us to do something, we need to do it all the way. But here we see that he did exactly what he was told to do. He went to the river and dipped once and nothing happened. He dipped 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times and nothing happened. And, you know, he might have thought to himself, this is stupid. Here I am dipping myself in this muddy river and nothing's happening. But then when he dipped himself the 7th time, he became clean. He was no longer a leper. You know, we can hear the word of God. We can think about the verses and what are given to us from the word of God. But we do not get saved until we are washed clean, until we accept and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive us of our sins, and that we then and only then can we have eternal life. You can sit in church all you want. You can listen to me preach all you want. You can turn on the TV and watch all the live stream you want, but it won't get you to heaven. It's only until you make the conscious decision that you are a sinner, that there's a penalty for your sin, and that you need to accept Christ as your personal Savior that you can get to heaven. But Naaman realized there was no other God as powerful as the God of Israel. In verse 15, it says this, and he returned to the man of God and all of his company and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all of the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Here we see that after he had been made clean, it was not Elisha who was the one who healed him. It was God who healed him. You know, Naaman knew that he had to give all of the glory and honor to the God of heaven instead of giving the praise to Elisha. After all, Elisha was just a what? a man just like you and I are. Elisha couldn't make him clean. He couldn't heal him from his leprosy. Only God could. You know, we need to realize it was God who gave his only begotten son that you and I can have eternal life. We need to praise him for what he has done for us in giving us eternal life. You know, Naaman was not a child of Israel. He was not part of the Israelites. He was a heathen. And he did not deserve to have the hand of God upon him. However, it was the life that God gave him back that made Naaman who he was. We need to live our lives honorable and with as much valor for the cause of Christ as we can. And we will have the victory just like Naaman did. And we'll be able to take and overcome our sins, and we can have eternal life. We just need to remember that God is on the throne, and he's the one who controls everything. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your love. We thank you for this story of Naaman. Father, we know that we need to take and accept you as our Lord and Savior in our life. Father, I just pray that if there's any here that aren't sure that they're saved, that they will take and seek us out and ask how they can make sure that they're on their way to heaven. We thank you so much for today. We thank you for all you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct us as we go to our classes and get our pace work done. We thank you for loving us so much. Be at the church service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, one announcement. All of you are here today. Next Monday you'll be here. Next Tuesday you'll be here. Next Wednesday you'll be here. Next Thursday. As of next week, we're back in school full time. Yes, ma'am. What? Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Huh? We're just going to go to Del 12. All right? All right, you guys are dismissed. Thanks, Dana.